On tonight's episode, we said we were going to do it. We're going to do it tonight. It's the XFL rules. We're going to go through some of the more interesting changes in this new professional league.
X going to give it to you. That's all I have to say.
You're right.
And we're going to take you around the belt as we are catching up on some men's and women's basketball.
You said catch up. That's going to cost the mustard. And you're going to relish it when we're done with all these puns.
Yeah, so many puns tonight. Also, we're going to take you around the belt as well. We're going to go talking some baseball and some maybe some softball. We're not sure yet, but either way.
Who knows? Who knows?
It doesn't matter. The show's going. Just roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know, what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Well, we are already off the hinges on today's show,
yep.
Basically.
Not even 10 seconds in.
Yeah, not even 10 seconds
and,
in.
And but just lost it.
Well, welcome into the show, everyone.
We are the Bench Boys. I'm Thomas.
I'm Colin.
And we switched it up on you just there.
Yeah, there you go. Man, I even went into that little... That wicked smart.
Wicked smart, yeah. I challenged my... I channeled my inner Bill Burr.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. We're just here tonight. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. Anything big happened over the weekend? Was there like a game or something like that?
There might have been. I missed it.
Like a Super Bowl or something?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Superb Owl.
To me, I think it's more commercials with football filler.
Yeah, and then a little bit of Shakira in there.
A little bit of Shakira in there. Man, oh, man. A
little bit of J-Lo, too.
Let me tell you. I know a lot of people are mad at that, but...
We watched this game together with our wives, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, with our wives were in the room, just to let everyone know that we watched the game.
They can vouch.
I thought it was a great game.
No.
I mean...
I got to say, the comeback by the Niners, I know... We're already, like, we already said we're off the rails.
We're
so
off the hinges.
We'll
cares?
Talk some NFL. The comeback by the Niners, not the Niners,
the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes showed exactly why he deserved to be Super Bowl MVP that night and the league MVP the year before. That was just an incredible.
See, I don't know. I might have to disagree with you. I think the running back for Kansas City deserved the MVP. Damian
really?
Williams, he was the first ever player in Super Bowl history to rush for 100 yards and have a rushing and a receiving touchdown in a Super Bowl. First ever guy to do it as a running back.
Not even like Hines Ward?
Nope. Running back to do it.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. First ever running back to have 100 yards rushing and a receiving and a rushing touchdown.
I will give you, that is impressive.
That's what I'm saying. Did any of our Sunbelt guys, I know we had two guys on the 49ers, didn't we have three guys in the Super Bowl?
We did. I think one guy was like the practice squad.
Oh, okay. Okay. So nobody. Yeah. Well, either way, congratulations to the Sun Belt guys that were on the two teams. We had a little Mobile flavor on the 49ers.
They made an impact for
leading
sure.
Tackler for the 49ers, Mr. Jimmy Ward.
Really?
11 tackles. Jaquiski Tartt, who went to Samford, mind you, had 5 tackles. Both of them laid the lickin'. Onto Mr. Mahomes during the game. Let me tell you something.
He literally had to go through Mobile to get to Miami.
Yeah,
tell you what.
Literally. The incredible story. I don't think we highlighted them. I don't think we highlighted them last time that we talked about this.
We talked about the Super Bowl. We mentioned it because.
But we didn't talk about these two guys.
Yeah.
I don't think. So just this is just a little Mobile flavor because we're kind of close. There's two players that played for the 49ers. It was their two starting safeties, Jaquiski Tartt and Jimmy Ward. Their two starting safeties. Both played together in high school at Davidson High School here in Mobile. And there's a great article. Sports Illustrated did a lot of good stuff on it. The Seattle Sentinel did a lot of good stuff. Oh, no, the San Francisco Sentinel did some good stuff on them as well. A really cool story. Like, all the players on 49ers, like Richard Sherman, they're all like, they all quote these two guys as being like an old married couple.
That's funny.
That literally, like, all game long, they will just bicker at each other. Like, they'll come into the huddle bickering about stuff that's not even about what's going on. Like,
Man, those tater tots you cut me were underdone.
Dude,
last
they're
talking.
They're talking trash about like stuff that people don't even. They're like, "What are you two talking about?
You don't even know how to change a tire."
It's incredible. So, like Richard, like literally, and it wasn't. It was more than one. I'm talking like half a dozen players said they are like an old married couple when they're on the field. They are harping like they talk trash to each other about how they're playing, but then they'll just talk about random things. So it's a great story. You need to, if you haven't heard of it already, I know it's a little late. We're past the Super Bowl, obviously, but still, it's just a crazy, like, to me, it was crazy that, you know, like, you saw all these, like the images of, oh, this college has this how many players, you know, like, five players representing. They should have thrown up Davidson in high school because they had multiple. Like, there are colleges that only had one guy. There are colleges that had no one in the Super Bowl, and this high school down here in Mobile had two. So I think to me that's an incredible story. A little Mobile flavor for you in the Super Bowl. But yes, the Chiefs did win it. Andy Reid, I know we're going straight NFL here to start the show. Who cares? Andy Reid, 222 wins as an NFL head coach in 21 years. Never had a Super Bowl.
There's a 10-win season literally every year.
Yeah. I mean that was kind of his motto was he would do so well during the year and then he'd get bounced in the first round of playoffs.
It was an 11-win season every year. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
and they're playing 16 games a year. So that's
one of only seven coaches to take two different franchises to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yeah. No, a hell of a coach. That's that you can pencil his name into Canton, Ohio at this point now. That will get him into Canton. So, congratulations to Andy Reid. Best line of Andy Reid after he won, he said, "I'm going to go home and I'm getting a double cheeseburger with cheese on it. Two slices. It's like a McDouble,
right?"
Do you
think there's anybody in Kansas City who's going to not serve that guy?
Probably not.
No. You're good, dude. You're good. Don't pay me. Don't pay. You're good.
I love it. So, no, great game. Great commercials. What favorite commercial?
The dance off between Lil Nas X and Sam.
Oh,
Elliott.
With the horse with the horse. Sweet subs on the back of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. I like that one. I like the Wicked Smart one with the Hyundai and all of the actual actors from Boston.
I
like
that big one. On that one, but
I also like Bill Murray in the Groundhog commercial.
Apparently, you are not alone. Apparently, that won the ad meter
really?
Test from USA Today.
Bill
so.
Murray, man. You can't beat Bill Murray. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, because you please tell me you know his feud with the Groundhog, where that comes from, right?
It's from the movie Groundhog Day. Yeah.
Well, no.
What? No. Oh, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. There you go.
What are you talking?
He has a feud with the basically a groundhog. He keeps coming all over the course, and he tears up the golf course.
Have you never seen the movie Groundhog Day?
Oh, I don't know, but he has it in a Caddyshack, and he...
Okay, you know the... Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, I need to just point this out, that I'm explaining to Colin what the movie Groundhog Day is.
Well, it's not Caddyshack.
It's... The ad was a mixture of both. Groundhog Day is literally the movie where he wakes up the same day over and over over again.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was a mixture
I was in Groundhog Day.
Exactly. It was a mixture of Caddyshack and Groundhog Day where... He's going around with the groundhog, and then Groundhog Day, he wakes up. You want to know why?
Why?
Because yesterday was Groundhog Day. Sunday was Groundhog Day.
Okay.
So that's why they did that commercial.
Well, I knew that. I've never seen Groundhog Day, to be honest with you. I strictly thought that was just a Caddyshack reference.
No, it was not.
Because, I mean, have you seen Caddyshack?
I've seen parts of it. I know it well enough to know what you're talking
about. Caddyshack, he's the crazy superintendent.
Right, and he goes after the gopher, yeah.
The gopher, yeah. And so that was my thing. But I don't know. I mean, whatever. Bill Murray, doesn't matter. Bill Murray wins everything. I like that one. Weird ones? I don't really... what are the weird ones? Was there any weird ones?
There weren't any, like, bizarre ones. There was the one where it was, like, the girl was talking about, like... What are you, born under a rock? That was weird. They were all either like trying to be funny,
yeah,
or they were like America.
Well, you had that. You know who didn't like you really didn't see was like the car companies. Normally, like the car companies, other than like Hyundai, I know we talked about them, but like Chevy, Ford, they all kind of like. I remember one year where they were like, "Oh, it's the apocalypse," and like the four guys come up and they talk to each other. They're like, "Oh, where's Rick?" And they're like, "Rick drove a Ford." He didn't make it.
I don't remember that.
Like
That's
that
funny.
One.
That's
like
funny.
That was like a Chevy commercial. But no, like I thought a Google did a really good one with like the memory, like the guy. And I like that one. And then Budweiser. You know, Budweiser always has like the dog or like they've always like kind of pulled at your heartstrings. This year they kind of didn't. They were kind of like we're the good old Budweiser. Like we aren't the typical like beer. Like we're the beer of champions thing. So, but yeah, we've talked a lot about this, and
we talked more Super Bowl than we planned to.
We
don't have any notes about the Super Bowl right now. But
hey,
we've got like
it's what happened. We both watched it. We both had some pretty bomb wings. I'm just saying
those were pretty good. Yeah,
and but no, so yeah, that'll wrap up Super Bowl. But as for everything else, I think we have to do one thing, and that's get out the gate.
Out of the gate.
That's right. Out of the gate, we're going to talk about the next pro football league that's popping up. Just 1 week after the Super Bowl, it's the XFL. What's up?
I'm crossing my fingers.
What are you crossing your fingers for?
Because I'd love the XFL to just get through one season.
Oh, it will.
Just one season.
It'll get through one season. We talked about this, and we will talk about
this. These guys deserve to be paid for a whole year.
Oh, yeah. We're not gonna kill this one. Yeah, we're not gonna try to go after it. But
let's try
not to. Like we talked about it, and I mean, I guess it's my turn to hop on the soapbox real quick now. But Vince McMahon runs the WWE. This is just a side project. This is just hey, let's see what sticks to the wall here, and if it happens to work, it works. They tried it before; it didn't matter. The WWE came back strong, and now here we are with the XFL. With that in mind, let's go ahead and hop into, there are some crazy rule changes for this league. It's not just like, oh yeah, we're going to take up those other people and we're going to be the wrestling football league or whatever. The game, as they say on this website in front of me, is evolving. And they got some pretty interesting and crazy changes for this first year of the new football league.
What do they got?
Let's start with the kickoffs.
Okay.
When games start with kickoffs, we'll start with the kickoffs. The kicker's going to kick off from the 30, but the kick coverage team is going to start on the opposite 30. And then the return team is going to be lined up on the 35, and then the return man is going to be back in between the 20 and the goal line.
Just before we get too deep in this, we're going to try and share. There's some pretty cool videos.
Oh, yeah. They're on Twitter.
That we'll be able to explain this because it's hard, obviously. We're a podcast. We can't show you guys right now, but we're going to explain it. But basically, simple to me, this is how I kind of simplified it. The kickoff and kick return teams are 5 yards apart. That's it. And none of them can move until the returner catches the ball. That's basically about as simple as you can put it. And so it really, in my eyes, it opens up. Because, I mean, it decreases having guys running full speed.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. So safety, it hits safety, which is great. And then two, it also opens up, it's big play. Because you've got 5 yards of separation between the two kickoff return teams. If you miss a block, or if you pancake somebody or get them on the ground, there's a huge hole there. A huge hole. And nobody's moving until that guy catches the ball. So I love the kickoff.
What's going to be fun is going to be watching these guys catch the ball with the field vision.
Oh, yeah.
To figure out where they're going to run.
Yep.
And honestly, I don't see many people getting very far past the 35. But, you know, that's not a bad place to start.
I mean, you could... And it doesn't necessarily say you have to line up man for man.
No.
You could put 10 guys on one side of the field.
Yeah.
And put one and have, or you could put 9 guys on the side of the field, have one blocker on the left side, and then have a returner at the back. Like, you could literally line up however you wanted. It's up to you.
So you've got 10 guys. What's going to happen is the kick team is going to figure out a formation.
Yeah.
And the defending team is going to have to figure out, like, to match
how to match that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see like how, like, but of course there has to be 5 yards in between them, and it can only be 5 yards. Like, you've got to have all of your guys lined up on the 40-yard line. So
I like having adding a strategy element to the kickoffs. I also like adding the strategy element. Let's go over to the punts,
okay?
Because that's a thing that I like. It's a thing that you like. Touchbacks go back to the 35. Out of bounds goes to the 35. Or wherever the ball went out of bounds, depending on where the ball went out of bounds. My favorite part of this whole punting situation, because it doesn't seem to be very much different. The punting team cannot cross the line of scrimmage until the ball is punted.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the swarm like you do in college or NFL of the players just taking off after the punt returner. It makes it more like a kickoff,
mm-hmm.
and I'm appreciative of that. Defenders over the gunner cannot cross the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked.
There you
go. So you got to get the snap off.
So the
off.
Defense can't,
right.
can't go after him.
So you're going to have a very similar setup where you've got the punting unit is going to line up in a formation, and the defense, the return team, is going to have to line up against it.
Yep.
So that'll be more strategy to punting.
Oh, yeah.
And their whole point is to decentivize punting.
Well, I think the biggest thing that decentivizes punting is you can't corner kick.
No, that's another thing.
If you kick the ball, a lot of guys will aim for corners and try to get the ball to go out of bounds at the 5-yard line. You don't give the returner room at all to catch and move. They've said, screw you. It doesn't matter. If that thing's inside the, 25 or 35 or 20, it's coming out to the 35. I mean, they are penalizing you no matter what. And it's all to push you to, if you're at the 50-yard line, you aren't playing flip the field. You are playing to score a touchdown still on your fourth play, to continue your drive.
It when you get to the 35-yard line there, as the punting team, you really have to reconsider punting.
Yeah.
Because if you may as well line up and do a Hail Mary there, or everybody do an out route and try to throw it up and let them intercept it.
Which my question is for coaches that are wild, do you have a punter? Do you have that on your roster? You say, screw it. We're just going to go for it every fourth down. I'm not going to waste a position on a guy that.
Well, you're going to need a kicker.
A kicker.
So you're going to have somebody who does double. You may as well have somebody who does double duty. If you are stuck in the.
If you're at the 5-yard line,
you're
not going to go for it if it's fourth and 22.
Exactly.
But still, you can have a guy just launch one. but it's the whole. You're just. That was just a crazy idea that came into my head as we were talking here. But I don't know. It just, for them to decentivize punting, I'm just like, man, that kind of sucks for the punters.
It does.
Job.
It does. It does because you got to figure out something else.
Yeah.
You got to find out another niche. You got to be able to be used in two ways. And that goes well into the double forward pass. This makes up for a lot of people who are mobile quarterbacks and two-way players, those guys that played quarterback in high school that transitioned to wide receiver.
It's gonna be
dangerous. Another Heinz Ward mission. Put it up on the board.
He's writing it down.
I misspelled Heinz, but we're not going to look at it.
We talked about ketchup earlier.
We did, and I messed up Heinz Ward. How did I do that? So basically, you can throw two passes behind the line of scrimmage. You can throw two forward passes as long as they're behind the line of scrimmage. So no more having to toss it out to one side and risk a fumble. You can line up, have a guy do an out route, come back behind the line, throw it to him, and then he can turn around and launch it the other direction for an angled double pass.
Yeah.
So
pretty epic.
Absolutely. And it changes.
Yeah.
It changes the game. Opens up so many different things. You said something about wishing Steve Spurrier was a part of this. I wish Steve Spurrier was a part of it. I wish Mike Leach was in the XFL because he already has a pretty stout passing offense as it is. Yeah. I would love to see him work with two quarterbacks.
I mean, can you imagine just simple formation in my head. You're out of the gun. You have your running back go out and basically a sweep based on a bubble.
Yeah.
And then you just throw a tight end straight up the seam and throw it to your running back, and your running back throws a 40-yard bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or put two quarterbacks back there.
That's what I'm saying. What if you're the Ravens? You're the Ravens, throw out your Heisman package.
You got two quarterbacks in the backfield. Then you can make people think.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just creativity. I mean, really creativity. Isn't there something about the play clock? They're really trying to speed the game up.
Yeah,
in between each play. I think that was the biggest thing keeping the game
going. And there's plenty to talk about when it comes to timing because, yes, you're right, the 25-second play clock. 25-second play clock begins as soon as the ball is spotted for the next play. No ifs, ands, or buts. It takes 7 seconds on average to spot the ball. So on average, you're getting 32 seconds between snaps.
So basically what they're doing is what everyone did in NCAA football.
Yeah.
When you ran the hurry up, you press Y.
Yeah, you hold down the button. Yeah.
It hurried it up, and you were automatically on the ball with 25 seconds. You didn't have to wait the 40 seconds
exactly.
while you're picking plays.
My other thing about it is the comeback period, because they're adapting and modifying some of the rules in college football. In college football, the ball is – you get a first down, the ball is – the clock is stopped until everybody lines up, and the ball is spotted, like it says.
Mm-hmm.
In the XFL, after both two-minute warnings – the clock is stopped until the ball is spotted, and then 5 seconds come off the play clock. So you have 20-second play clock as soon as the ball is snapped.
Oh, okay.
So not only does it change it that way if you're trying to milk the clock,
yeah,
it also changes it if you're trying to be in the hurry up.
Okay.
So you got to think about these things.
Yeah.
If you're in a hurry up, you mean you still have the opportunity.
So the 2-minute warning is, or the 2-minute, you know, like the thing that every team practices is that 2-minute drive. That's a.
It's even faster.
It ain't a 2-minute drive anymore. I can tell you that.
We're going from the NASCAR offense to the F1 offense.
Lord
is what we're
have
doing.
Mercy.
And when you do score, let's take it back up because I've got the one on this.
Yeah, I know we passed
this. The PAT system.
Yeah.
In the XFL,
I like this.
Is a little mind blowing.
This is kind of like flag football.
It is.
It's like flag football.
And I think that I feel like the Alliance had something similar to this, but I'm probably just completely wrong. But basically, you have 3 different options. You can score a 1-point play from the 2-yard line, a 2-point play from the 5-yard line, and a 3-point play from the 10-yard line. Yep. You cannot kick it.
Yep.
So you cannot kick an extra point
in
the XFL.
And they really don't like punters and kickers.
No, they don't. They don't. Do something other than use your foot. Come on. This isn't
called a really easy
football.
That's a really easy job for a kicker, though. You got kickoffs and
pressure on you and just bring in the bank. Yeah, come on.
For a solid deal.
But it's the same way. It's forcing you to be on offense. It's forcing you to be creative. And then if you do get the turnover and score at the other end, you get that many points. So if you pick up a fumble on a 1-yard point play, you can run it back and get a 1 point like in college or NFL.
Yeah.
So that changes it up for defense. You got defense that's hungry for some extra points. You double that up with a comeback period.
I mean,
you got a free play.
I mean, even that is like if they're going for 3 points and you say the defense gets an interception there and they take it all the way back, do they get 3 points?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, you've really got to think about that. Like, okay, if they're down 7 now or if they're down 6 and I'm going for 3 points to try to stretch it maybe to 9, like, is there really a
risk
there?
Is it worth it?
Like, is it worth it? Like, because, I mean, that could change the entire game. That's, I like it. I love it, actually.
My pièce de résistance, my favorite thing about the XFL, though, and this,
I might have one too. You might have the same thing as me. I'm saving it.
I love the 10-minute halftime.
Okay.
I love the idea of a 10-minute halftime because, I mean, when it comes to college football, you've obviously got the marching bands that need 10 to 15 minutes, 20 minutes total, 25 minutes total to get out there to actually do your show. That's part of college football. It's part of the tradition. It's part of just what it is.
They don't have tradition.
In XFL, you ain't got that. You don't see the Seattle Vipers with their marching band out there. So you may as well go ahead and get back to the action. 10-minute halftime. You guys go sit down, get your drink, take a breather, but y'all come back out for real quick for an action. It's going to be soon. And this shortens it down as far as like TV is concerned. So you don't have to sit there for 4 hours and watch a football game. It's probably going to get done in 2.5-3 hours. Tops.
I'm glad you talked about TV because that, to me, this is my favorite part. He's not our friend or anything, but one of the, I guess, the most up and coming football analysts, if you want to call him an analyst, right now is Pat McAfee.
Okay.
Yeah. Pat McAfee is going to be on the sidelines. He literally has unlimited access to wherever he wants to go. He could literally, in the middle of a play, walk up to the head coach and say, what are you going to do here? All the coaches are mic'd up. All the refs are mic'd up. The sideline is going to be incredible to watch. He can literally, like he'll be able to walk up to a coach and say, hey, what was going on in that third down play last one? And the coach is going to talk to him during the game.
I cannot wait for there to be one coach that says, I'm not going to talk to you. I ain't telling you. Get out of my face.
Yeah, like
that's my purse. I don't know you.
It's Pat McAfee, so he's going to handle it well.
Right.
But like that's going to be incredible, like to watch, like just to see what happens. And I don't know how they're going to do it because you got refs running up and down sidelines. I've been on sidelines in games. I don't want to be in the middle of all that. Like, that would be, like, Lord, I'd be nervous, like, just to get ran over. Like, that's my fear. So, that's what I'm kind of excited about for that. It's going to be an incredible league. I think it has, we talked about it last week, I think it has the money backing. I think, has the exposure backing. They're going to be on Fox and ESPN. I already saw ESPN talking about it. Fox has been talking about it for months now. But no, they're going to be on primetime. Like, I think they've got something that's really, really strong and set up here. And they're in good markets. All of their markets are really good markets. I mean, yeah. New York City, Dallas.
Well, duh, they picked Houston. Some of the top markets.
I mean, they picked big time markets that people are going to like foot traffic. People are going to go to the game. So they're going to make money in the stadium, and they're also going to make money off of TV deals. So, yeah, that's the XFL.
Well, and I'm excited for it. If you're a Sunbelt fan and you don't know what team to pull for, I suggest you go back to our previous episode where we run down all the Sunbelt players that are currently on rosters as of last week in the NFL, in the XFL. But yes, we are in fact a Sunbelt podcast. So let's get back to the action. We got some other sports going on, and let's go take a look at them around the belt.
X gonna give it to you.
Around the belt.
That's right. We're taking you around the belt. We are in women's basketball. It's men's basketball. We're catching up on some midseason things. But we're going to start out with some women's basketball here.
We're gentlemen around here.
And we're gentlemen. We're just going to roll right through it.
Do it.
Broken down into three categories.
I like it.
Let down teams.
Uh-huh.
Surprise teams.
Okay.
And teams who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were.
There you go.
All right.
We're going to give you some preseason rankings, and we're going to give you current rankings.
Let's do it.
In the letdown category, Georgia State, South Alabama, and Texas State were all in my letdown category.
And South Alabama was... Okay, we'll get to this. Go.
We're going to get to this. Georgia State was picked to finish sixth preseason. They are currently 10th. They are dead last. They are having a terrible year. 1-8, only 4 wins the entire season. Just not a good year. Ooh. Texas State was picked to finish 9th. This was kind of a flip-floppy one.
Yeah.
Right now, they're 10th. They're also tied for last. They are 1-8 in conference. They only have one conference win that they just got. They opened up conference play 0-8. They are 8-12, which isn't as bad as 4-16, I can tell you that. Well, but the team that is, I think, the big letdown just because of how they finished last year, and a lot of people thought they had a really strong squad. And even we talked to Terry, and he said he thought this was going to be the actual good year. They were picked to finish 4th preseason. They're 7th. This is South Alabama that we're talking about. They're 5-4 in conference, 10-11 overall. They just didn't have the hot start that they did last year, which I think is a big factor. So that's why I have them in the letdown. But I think that they have the greatest chance of, I would say they're 5-4. They aren't 1-8. So they still have a solid chance. They've got a tough schedule with some tough games coming up. But I still think they have a core players that just because of what they did last year in the postseason play, I think that's going to fuel them. They want to get back to that. I think they're going to get to that.
The bigger the cat, the harder the fall, I guess.
Yeah, basically.
More puns.
Mo puns. Mo puns, mo problems?
Yes.
That thing? Okay. So then we're going to move on to our next category, or is the they are who we thought they were category. This is an easy one. Troy, Arkansas, Little Rock.
They're picked to finish number one and number two, basically.
Yes. Troy, number two. They're number one. UALR, preseason pick, number one. They're number two. 8-1 is Troy. UALR is 7-2. The only little hiccup for UALR is their overall record is 9-11. And they didn't have the non-con schedule that University of Texas Arlington had that we've talked about in the past. So that overall record, the fact that they're below 500.
That is, it's not very good for a number one team.
But we are strictly talking about preseason Sun Belt rankings. So where they finished in the Sun Belt. So they're right where they need to be. They're 7-2. They're going to get a number two. If the season ended today, they're a number two seed in the Sun Belt Conference.
Well, they're number three because they're tied for number two, yeah, and you can only have one number one.
Yeah.
But the number one team, Troy, I got to give them props because they only have three losses
so far.
Well, Duke, Mississippi State, and Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And I don't think even I would have, one of the most homerest of homers would have said, hey, I think Troy is going to be nearly undefeated this year.
Yeah. I think we talked earlier that they were going to be a hard out, but we've always said that about them for the past two years, I feel like.
We have.
They've always been tripped up. They haven't done that yet. Now, they're still... This is Absolutely. February is that. That's where your legs start coming in.
And I think that's the thing to remember here is that anything can happen in February.
Anything can happen in February. The surprise teams, you talked about one of the teams that beat Troy. It's Louisiana. Louisiana was picked to finish 8th in the preseason poll. They are 3rd right now, 6-3. And this is what I think is impressive, 13-7. They got a .500 record.
That's really good.
I think they get 4 wins, maybe 5. And I think they're sitting at 18-11 going into tournament play. And they might not get in to the big dance, but I think they get an invite either to the WNIT or there's 2 other tournaments that go on. I think they get an invite there. I mean, if you're 18-11, that's a solid year, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know how easy it's going to be for them to get to that
point. They
do
have a tough road.
Because they go through some of those top teams.
Yeah, they have to play Troy again. It's at home. Remember, yeah. They're the only team to beat Troy at home. They're also one of the few teams to score more than 70 points against Troy. That's the whole thing with Troy and their defense. But easily the biggest surprise of the year for me, Coastal Carolina. They're 17-3 overall, which is incredible. 7-2 in conference. I know they had a weak non-conference schedule. We talked about that. But they, like you said last week, they went out, they won the games. And their scoring differential margin is the tops in the league. They're higher than Troy is. And they play defense. They play just as good as defense as they do as what Troy does. The biggest thing, I think this was a safety pick for a lot of the coaches because a lot of them just didn't know what Coastal was going to bring to the court every game. They didn't really know what Coastal was going to have on the floor. And now, I mean, now they do.
And that's fair because you don't know what the measurables are going to be. No. If it's going to be like an out there thing that you can't predict.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I wouldn't have picked them either.
Yeah, I think that's a really safe pick. They're 6th, and if they go higher, that's okay. We didn't have them pick for 11th, as we're going to see on the other side of the court. And let me tell you something. Let's just get into it right now. We're going to go to the men's basketball side because there's a lot to talk about on the men's side.
Yeah.
So same deal. Letdown, surprise, and they are who we thought they are.
They are who we thought they were.
Those are the 3 categories. We're going to start with the letdown phase. 2 of the top 4 teams in the preseason top 4.
Okay.
Are not even in the top 5.
So that's South Alabama,
yep.
UTA, Georgia Southern, and Texas State.
Yes.
2 of those teams.
Not even in the top. They're outside the top 5 right now.
Huh.
And only one of them has a winning record.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go. First of all, UTA, they are picked to finish 2nd. They are currently 5th. They are 6-6, 10-13 in conference. I have that right? Yeah, 10-13 in conference. And then before we get to the most letdown team, I would say ULL at 5th. They were picked to finish 5th, and they are 11th in conference.
That's a pretty big fall. That's a pretty big fall.
They're close tie between these two teams, between the top 2. They're 4-8 in conference, 9-14 overall. They just haven't really – there's been a couple games. They didn't have a great non-conference schedule, so I think they – spared some wins out of there, but they just haven't looked very good in conference so far this season. And then the number one letdown is South Alabama. I think there was so much hype on this team because they had a lot of players coming in. They just have not meshed well.
We're looking at 8 first place votes.
Yeah, 8 first place votes, and they're sitting at 6.
Do they have 8 wins? No, they don't even have 8 wins in conference.
Well, not in conference. They're 6-7 in conference play. And they're 13-11 overall. It's just I just think they got all these guys. You think, okay, they've got all these guys on paper. It looks like they're going to wax everybody. They just haven't meshed. I that's what I really think is the problem with this team. Richie Riley, this is going to be – we're going to see what he's got. I mean, he has the players.
Anything can happen in February.
Again, we're going to see really what he can do with this team that's sitting at 6-7 in conference. So, the next category, they are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were.
Excuse me. I'm going to go Georgia Southern, who is picked to finish 3rd, and they currently are 3rd in conference. They're sitting at 7-5. Do I have that right? 7-5.
Yep.
Yeah. Both of them 7-5. They are currently 13-10 overall. So, about what you would think.
Yeah.
And then Texas State, who's also 7-5 and tied for 3rd, they were picked to finish 4th. So literally, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah,
and they're 14-9 in out of conference. That's solid. You're 5 games above .500. That's a solid season so far. The surprise teams I've got now. You might disagree with me on a couple of these.
Okay.
But I got 4 of them in here.
Okay.
And I think it's for good measure. I'll start out. Ark State, they were picked to finish 10th in the conference. They are currently 5th.
Okay.
7-6. But the more impressive thing is they are 15-9 overall. What? I think that's really, really good for them.
All right, we're going to stop the train real quick because 15-9, that's really impressive. There's only one team, other team with, or two other teams with 15 wins or more.
Yeah.
And they're at the top there, Little Rock and Georgia State.
Yeah. And we're going to get to one of those teams here in a second. But no, I think 7-6 in conference. 15-9. It's a solid year.
I mean, they're on a 2-game lose streak, but come on, that's, you might be 7-6 in conference, but
yeah,
they could be looking at a bid themselves.
Oh yeah. Okay, and then so these next two teams, you might say they're a little bit of a stretch, but I'm gonna kind of back them up here. So App State was picked to finish 9th.
Yeah.
And I know 9th out of 12 teams. How are you calling them a surprise, Colin? Well, I mean, they're 6th right now, and that's when you're really gonna say, okay, they're 6th. How is that much of a surprise? Well, they're 6-6 in conference, but they're above 500 overall record. If you're picked to finish 8th or below in the Sun Belt Conference, I feel like you're not going to have an above 500 overall record. And they're still above. They're granted, they're what, 12-11?
Yeah.
Right?
One game above 500. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 12-11. Yeah.
Yeah, 12-11. Sorry. So yeah, they're 12-11. I think that's a, and they're within striking distance of hell, 4th place at this point. A lot can happen.
I support that one. I like that pick because it's a first-year head coach.
It is a first-year head coach, and that's the same thing for my next team. And I know we've talked about him, but Troy and Scott Cross. I know Troy, they're sitting at 5-8 in conference, but they have 3 wins over the number at the time they played them, the top-ranked team in the conference, and they're 5-8. So it's not like they've been playing an easy schedule. Granted, 5-8.
They've been winning games they shouldn't have.
Yeah, there's a couple games. They were picked to finish dead last. They were picked to finish 12th. Granted, they are 10th, but they're 9-15. And you and me, we both were at Troy during the Phil Cunningham years. Phil Cunningham is a nice guy, but the only reason why they won that one year, the conference championship, was because of Wesley Pearson. He put the team on his back. You could have run pretty much any play to him, and he would have scored as many points as what he did. I mean, I think they should have been better, to be honest with you, than what they were that year. They caught fire at the end of the year. This team is mostly Phil Cunningham players, but they play so much different than any Phil Cunningham team that I've ever seen play, and it's because of Scott Cross. And yes, they're 9-15, but they're still a surprise. This is a team that they only had like 22 points worth of a vote. Like, in the preseason poll, I mean, people just put them in the doghouse, basically. Like they weren't even like in the house. They were outside.
I mean, I'm not a big fan. I'm supportive of this pick because of the 2 wins over Georgia State and the 1 over Little Rock, but you know, they're still only 2 games out of last place. They're 2 games out of last place in the conference.
Yeah,
I'm really on the fence about it.
On the fence. That's fine.
If I wasn't, I have to be that way because I'm a Troy guy.
I think it's more of an eye test just watching them play.
That's
maybe
fair.
The record might not show it, but the eye test of this team is completely different.
I'm very scared of them next year.
Yeah, they're gonna be good. But this year, the biggest surprise in the Sun Belt, I mean, even today in the country, no other team was picked to finish as worse as what this team was picked to finish and is now where they're at. UALR was picked to finish 11th. 11th. How many wins did they have last year? I think they had 10 wins in all of last season. They were picked to finish 11th. They are currently first in the Sun Belt. First. They are 11-2. They are 17-7 overall. Last season, they went 10-21 last year. They didn't. They couldn't even shoot the ball last year. And now look at where they are. They're literally top.
They have more conference wins this year than they have total wins last year.
Last year. I mean, this is an incredible, incredible story. I've tweeted out at it. I said, when you get something, and it's kind of for the Troy guys, but UALR has walked the frickin' walk. When you get picked to finish 11th in your conference, that is a chip on your shoulder. And you play with that every game. Obviously, you're playing for yourself and you're playing to win, but you remember all of those coaches. You remember all the media guys at the beginning of the season that say, y'all ain't crap because you only won 10 games. Well, guess what, dude? This is a completely different team. And look at us now. We're 11-2 and we're 17-7 overall, and we are two games ahead of second place right now in conference, and we're looking at a number one seed.
They are a six-game win streak.
Yeah.
And I don't expect them to stop anytime
soon.
Yeah, and
I mean, what are the scores? 81-63, 73-71, close game, 96-79. Good night, 93-86. They put up 90 points in back-to-back games.
At this record, they're going to score 100 points.
That's scary. So, no, I mean, so much applause to that coaching staff at UALR for right now being in first. I know February is a big month, but man, oh, man, that's an incredible, incredible flip of the script for UALR and the Trojans. I know we talk about the Trojans a lot. We're going to talk about a little bit more Trojans tonight with talking about UALR. So, no, incredible season they're having right now. Two losses. One of them is to Troy. I don't know who the other one is to. But still an incredible, incredible season for them so far. So we're going to go outside the arena, right?
Sure.
And okay. We're going to go to the Diamond because it's February. And we are literally, we're going to have baseball playing this month.
Yes.
At the end of the month, we're going to have baseball. And so we're going to run through this real quick, right?
Yeah.
We're just doing baseball, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we got some preseason. We've been talking about these preseason
polls.
Yeah,
we're shifting gears to baseball.
Yeah, we're shifting gears to baseball. We were talking about preseason polls and catching up in basketball. Well, we got preseason polls out now for baseball. And there's some parity in this league. Man.
Absolutely.
I mean, parity. Like, we have seven teams that received first place votes by the other coaches.
At least one, yeah.
Now, granted, UALR might have just voted for themselves. We don't
sure.
know. They're the only team to only receive one vote. Every other team had multiple votes. So that means, yeah, your coach might have voted for you, but somebody else voted for you. So there you go. South Alabama, we're going to go to the East here. Top four, South Alabama, Coastal Carolina, Georgia Southern, and Troy. Three of those four teams all received first place votes. South Alabama received six. Coastal Carolina received four. Georgia Southern received two.
I am legitimately surprised that two coaches picked South over Coastal.
Shocking.
Now, six, I mean, total, sure. And both of those teams are very good, so I can see them having equal amounts. But for two coaches to pick Coastal Carolina over South, they are now 1 point apart in the poll.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a hair-thin line close to each other.
I think what tipped the scale is South Alabama if they stay healthy, because I remember a couple years ago, they just had injury after injury.
They didn't stay healthy last year.
They didn't even stay healthy last year. They've got a rotation this year. Drake Nightingale, which name of the year already, preseason pitch player of the year.
That is a baseball name.
And then they've got a number two that's just as good. I think that Coastal doesn't have, they still have a solid rotation, but I think that's what I think a lot of coaches looked at for South Alabama this year was the fact that they have two really, really solid pitchers and for coming up this season. So I think that was the biggest thing.
What do we talk about? You got to have a day two. You got to have a day three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, you can have a good Friday night guy, but what you got for Saturday?
Yep.
What you got for those doubleheaders?
And you're right. So, South's got that.
Yep. On the West, this is really interesting. So the order of pick from one through four.
Right.
Who all four teams received votes, by the
yes.
way. Yes. Was UALR at four, Texas State at three, Louisiana at two, and University of Texas Arlington, UTA, at number one in the West. Here's where it gets interesting. UALR has one first place vote, probably their own coach. Texas State has three, so good for them. Louisiana has five, who is at number two. And UTA, who's at number one, picked to finish first, only had three first place votes. So, Thomas, how is that possible?
Well, it's based on where else they're picked.
There you go.
So, like, if you get it's probably literally an inverse ranking there. If you get number one, that's 6 points or 10 points or however they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got inverted rankings there. If you get number one, you're going to get the most points. So what happened is Louisiana wasn't – if they don't finish first, the coaches picked them to finish a lot lower mm-hmm. than expected. And what you have here is Texas State is 3 points shy of UTA. The number three team is only 3 points
wow.
behind the number one team. So that's so you want to talk about parity. Yeah. You got a team with as many first place votes as your number one team, mm-hmm. and they're only 3 points behind him.
Wow.
So this three right here.
A lot of parity right there.
We're going to watch these three teams battle it out.
Yeah.
It's like the AL East last year.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. I think we get to watch Louisiana down here in March, kind of an early little
I think we do too.
Preseason bout between Troy and Louisiana. They get to play down here in Pensacola.
But
for a tournament. So we'll see. We'll get to see a little bit of that early.
We just talked about how preseason polls don't mean anything whatsoever. But if I had to pick today,
okay,
I'm going to pick Louisiana and Coastal Carolina to win the
divisions. You're picking the twos, huh?
I'm picking the twos. I'm taking the twos because you got to have the 2 days. You got to have the day twos.
I learned this last year. Don't pick against Coastal Carolina.
Exactly.
They will figure it out come basically May of what they have to do to get a regional site. And they're gonna do it because they're good.
They're Coastal.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna pick. I said it last year. I'm not gonna pick against them.
No.
Until they proved to me that I should.
Yeah. Yeah. So very interesting. A lot of parity. A lot of parity. So far in the baseball preseason poll. So that will do it for tonight's episode. It's a shorter episode, but we hope you guys enjoyed it. A lot of cool things in the XFL. Be sure to tune into that. The first games are this weekend, February 8th. A lot of good stuff there. Basketball, a lot of things heating up. We're getting closer and closer to March Madness. We might have a little bit of golf next weekend as we get some golf tournaments going up as well. I know we had some pretty stellar golf play at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
With particularly Georgia Southern and Arkansas State last year. So they're good this year. They're reloading. So we might get a little golf next week. We'll see. But that will probably do it for tonight's show.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Colin. And as always, follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. Right.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And at Thomas Gleeton.
Yep.
And at Colin KL13 on Twitter. Hit that subscribe button while you're here. I mean, you've listened to our whole episode. If you like it, smash the subscribe button. I mean, we're pretty much doing this every week. We got some really, really cool things coming up as well. I know we've been taking off, but we've been just every time we take off, we're always talking off air, off the mic, how we can make our show better. And we've got some more good ideas. We've every week I feel like we have a different idea that we can turn the show into, and we've got some really good stuff churning. So it's gonna be good. Tune
you
in next
said
week.
Everything I needed. I was gonna say. So.
Yeah, there you go. So tune in next week. Again, XFL, X gonna give it to you.